We all know that breaking up is hard, particularly when we experience rejection. There's real loss, real missing of the other person, real uncertainty about the changes in our lives. But there are also a lot of other things going on internally that impact how much pain we feel and how long we feel it after we split up.
Very often when we feel rejected, we turn against ourselves, and regardless of the circumstances of the relationship, we see our previous partner as the only person who can make us feel okay again. We remain stuck in our pain and committed to the notion that there's something wrong with us. But why is that? Why do we long for something or someone who isn't offering us what we want or seeing us how we want to be seen? Why do we feel attracted to rejection?
So both of us recently read a Stanford study which showed that a person's beliefs about personality can actually contribute to whether they remain stuck in the pain of rejection. So if they have a fixed mindset and see personality as more set in stone, they blame their own, quote, toxic personalities for a breakup, and they feel more hopeless about the future. Whereas if they have a growth mindset, they see themselves as able to develop and grow from the experience. And when you think about this, it really shows us how much the way we feel about ourselves matters when it comes to getting over a difficult event like a breakup. The more turned against ourselves we are, the more distorted our outlook becomes, and the more pain we're likely to experience.
We may believe that getting back our former partner is the only thing that will make our pain go away, but what many people discover in therapy is that it's actually the rejection itself that is so compelling. To find out how this works and why this is, we've invited a guest to talk to our own Dr. Lisa Firestone about her personal experience with a recent breakup and what she's learned about herself in the process.
So from here, we'll turn it over to Lisa.
You wrote this piece for us, and I'm going to ask you some questions about it. Because I think it's really valuable, because I think it really is relatable to people about what they go through and how they feel when they're struggling with breaking up with somebody or end of a relationship. So can you describe what went through your head right after you broke up? How did you feel? What was going on inside your mind?
When we actually broke up?
Well, leading up to it, first of all, let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe just give a little bit of context to the relationship. I don't know if that's helpful.
Yeah.
And it is an emotional subject for me to talk about. It's been 9 months since we broke up, but I guess in sitting down to talk, I still have feelings about it, which I'll try to get work through as I'm talking. So, you know, when we got together, it was about 5.5 years ago from now, and we had been friends for a few years, and I had come out of a long-term relationship, marriage, and it had been hard for a while, and I was sort of just on my own. And when we ended up changing from a friendship to a romantic relationship, it made me really happy, and it was really exciting and fun and passionate and adventurous, and there was just a compatibility that I thought was, you know, really special, and it and the sexuality was really passionate and exciting as well. I really liked that, but I liked everything about the situation in terms of sharing life and humor and friends. And so it felt like, and you know, looking back now, I think I was in a bit of a fantasy, but I felt like I had found sort of someone that I could spend my life with.
You said that you thought you were in a bit of a fantasy. I was wondering what you meant by that.
Well, looking back now, first of all, not that this is super relevant, but he was younger than me. And I feel like where I was at in my life, I maybe was looking for something. The way I felt towards him, I felt like I could be with him forever, for the rest of my life. And I don't think that was where he was at. I think that he was cared about me and loved me, but it wasn't the same thing for him. I don't think he was at the same level as me. And I think there was even probably, I don't know, warning signs that I didn't pick up on early on, maybe even just ways that would come up as a little bit critical, or, you know, and it wasn't in the beginning, it wasn't about the me as a woman or the sexuality, but it was things maybe about being too loud in a social situation or just little criticisms. But I felt like I had a blind spot to anything that could possibly be negative in the situation and I only saw the positive. And again, I just, everything was like washed over because I had this person that I thought I was going to spend my life with and I was getting what I wanted. And I just felt like I kept putting aside little things that I would have cared more about if I wasn't so infatuated in a way, or that, you know, in love at that level.
So it sounds like it started off very romantic and passionate, mm-hmm. and maybe a little bit through rose-colored glasses. This was mm-hmm. the perfect person to share your life with. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty intense relationship from mm-hmm. the beginning, it sounds like. How did that go from being that to not being that?
Well, I date it back to actually when we got married. It just went from, the sexuality got less. It got less passionate, less often. He seemed a little bit less interested. But not anything extreme. It was more mild, the change then. But it was subdued a little bit, is the way I would say. And then he, I remember like a year after that, he was traveling. And he ended up, basically, there was a very big change where the next time I went to spend time with him, he started to feel repelled more by me physically. And it was very jarring at the time because, unlike the summer before, this was a very extreme change where it would be very hard for him to be sexual with me. And in the situation, he would be rejecting and critical and not wanting. And the thing that I sort of made a conscientious decision to kind of hang in there with him because I knew that he loved me. I knew we still loved each other and we still shared a lot. We lived together, you know. But I look back now is, yes, I was invested and yes, I wanted to give it a chance. But I also think there was a part of me that was sort of willing to be in a situation where I was rejected in a way that surprises me, because the truth is it really hurt a lot. And it was a couple years of a lot of pain. And I'm surprised that I would let myself be in that situation. But I'm also learning more now about myself. And like, in a way, I was like holding on to scraps of something that was making me really happy for a long time. And as that changed, I would hold on to the one moment out of, you know, one time in a month that he might be different and might want to be with me and be sexual. And interestingly, those times were so passionate for me, but I think it was sad because it was like, the way I felt in it, it was like a child that wasn't fed and then finally got fed. I mean, it's embarrassing to say that, but it felt like, it's like the rejection in the physical rejection built up the wanting so much that I didn't even know what I was attracted to and what I was just responding to out of being rejected, and then that making me want more. So it became a very complicated thing, but the truth is that he was really sort of not interested, even in those times. And that's so horrible to me. Like, now thinking that I would actually let myself be in a situation like that.
What do you think made you so drawn to the rejection?
Well, it's interesting because there was the rejection during the relationship and then there was the actual complete rejection at the end. But what I look back on now is like, I feel like it stirred up such a like a similar reminiscent feeling to the way I felt as a child. And I think that in trying to get the sex or the love back from him again, it became like this desperation to get back something that I had, because I couldn't understand like where it went. And so I felt like in the relationship I was trying to get it back, almost like I said, like it was almost like being a baby that was like cold and hungry and needing something, and I just had to keep trying to get it. And that was the feeling. And the truth is, my response to his rejection in the situation made it worse, because he actually would tell me, this is not personal to you. This is something in me that I'm struggling with. And yet I would take it personally because of my own, the way that I felt even as a child and being rejected made me feel like there was something wrong with me. And I remember, like, even when I wrote about this, I remember, like, the nights going to bed with him. It was so painful because it had been such a rich experience between us. And then suddenly I'm laying next to this person and I have all the same wants that I had before. And he's just vacant. And I felt so empty and so hungry and so paralyzed to know how to make it better. And it was really painful. And I did that for 2 years, basically. And
your childhood had been like that in some way?
Well, I feel like in my childhood was complicated because, you know, I had my mother, I have an older sister, and my mother, I feel like my mother didn't, she was very close to my sister, and they were very much more alike in looks, and just they were connected. They had a connection. And when I came along, I was different than them. I was even my coloring, I was blonde, I was little, I was, and my father really loved me and gave me a lot of attention and adored me. And I feel like my memories of my childhood was sort of with my mother, and my sister was sort of that resentment. And with my mother, I just feel like there was rejection. Like, I don't feel like there was affection or nurturing, or I feel like she was vacant in relation to me, and she didn't have it to give me, and she resented me because I sort of, everything was, I think, okay before I came along. That's the feeling I have. And my father, I think his attention to me was almost too intense. What I remember is I would be sort of his whole world when it was just the two of us, and I would feel special and loved and cute. And then when she would come home, and she was a very erratic, kind of emotionally unstable person. I mean, diet pills, drama, threatening suicide. The house was very intense. And I feel like when she would come home, he would change towards me, and he would be intimidated to show the same behaviors. And I don't know, I think that I was left feeling very confused by that whole situation, because I felt like I wasn't, that I was everything, then I was nothing, you know. And I, in those moments, I just felt so alone I didn't have either one of them at that point. And that's what this feeling, that's what I feel like this feeling felt like to me, because what happened was I was thinking about my need and focus of the man that rejected me. And I was thinking about that when I got involved with him, I saw him realistically. He was, you know, I knew he had a troubled past. I knew that he was learning about himself, and I thought he was intelligent. I thought he was an attractive guy, but not like, you know, amazing looking. But in the dynamic of the relationship, I felt like I kept elevating his status in my mind. Even before the rejection, I put him above me in some way that was wrong. And, you know, the truth is that when he came into the situation, he found me to be, you know, I'm a successful, competent, you know, attractive businesswoman, and he really liked those things about me, and I felt like he was the lucky one when we got together. But as we were together, I felt like I lowered my opinion of myself and raised my opinion of him. And I think I've always done that. I've always taken like a lower seat in relation to the man I'm involved with. But as he rejected me, I kept, instead of not liking him for rejecting me, which would have been the more sort of healthy response, I kept seeing him as more and more attractive and more compelling and more interesting. And then when I went to visit him overseas, he told me that the relationship was over. And the thing is that I wasn't happy at that point. I wasn't getting what I wanted. It wasn't even the sexuality anymore. I wasn't getting companionship. I wasn't getting romance. It was so lacking, but yet I wasn't ready for it to end. And I thought that we still loved each other, and that I felt like I had invested so much I couldn't imagine giving up. But the fact that he gave up, it sent me into a tailspin, honestly.
What was going on in your mind and your thoughts and your feelings at that time when he said, it's over?
I felt so betrayed. I felt betrayed. I felt like I couldn't believe that he would give up. There was some way that I felt panic and like sort of like I was going to disintegrate into pieces. That was the feeling I had. I felt like I didn't know what to do. I couldn't control it. It wasn't up to me. I couldn't change it. And I just felt like I felt just probably as horrible as I've ever felt. I felt like I wasn't enough and I wasn't a woman enough. And, you know, there was just a lot of attacks on myself.
It sounds like a lot of critical inner voices got triggered.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think that one of the things that I struggle with is feeling like enough. And this whole experience definitely stirred that feeling up of not being enough. And I couldn't just put it where it belonged. And that's where I see the similarity into my past is like, I came out of my childhood, instead of thinking that my parents had limitations in loving me or limitations in over-focusing on me, instead of that, I just came out of my childhood feeling like I wasn't enough. And I feel like instead of seeing them accurately and in this situation, in this relationship, I mean, obviously I had my own flaws, but the specific of what was going on was a struggle he had. And he was even clear about that, but I was taking it on so willingly and as my deficiency. So when we broke up, I felt like I couldn't let go and I was yearning. That was a feeling. I felt like I was like yearning for him and he was just like on a pedestal. Like he was just this amazing catch that I would never find anyone like him again. I would never have that kind of companionship, that kind of sexuality, that kind of person to share my life with. And I mean, if you knew me, you would be shocked at those thoughts, because my friends were all telling me he's not nice to you. He doesn't appreciate you. Like, this is, you're letting yourself be in a crazy situation. And meanwhile, so somewhere along the way, I was like, what is going on? Like, why is this man suddenly on such a pedestal in my mind? Like, he's the only thing I want. All I want is to fix this.
And what was that feeling? Like, if you described it as a feeling, you said there was a yearning.
I just felt like if I could just figure out what it was that would make him love me again. That's how I felt. Like, I felt so impotent to figure out what that was. Like, that, like, I just felt, and that's what I felt obsessed with. Like, what is it? What could I do? You know, could I lose weight? Could I, you know, could I be, if I was younger, if I was, you know, like, what is it that would make him want me and love me? Like, how can I fix it? What can I do? Like, why does he want other people, but he doesn't want me anymore? Like, how do I fix that? You know, like, what can I do? But it wasn't even, like, the most painful part of it is, like, what's wrong? Like, what's wrong with me? And how can I, like, I'll do anything. That was the feeling. Like, I'll do anything to make you love me again. Like, that was the feeling. And it felt so desperate. And yet he was done. He was completely done. So it's like I was left with all this feeling and yearning and desperate feeling, and he was completely done. And that's, I think, when I started to think about, like, I went into therapy again, and I started to think about, like, why is this guy so important to me? Like, why is he on such a pedestal? Like, what is this? What does this mean for me? Because it's way too important and way too, you know, I'm giving him way more credit than he deserves. It's not equal. It's not a balanced way to see a person. No one. Mm-hmm. It's not a balanced way to see anybody in the world. I mean, the truth is, like, no one's that special. I mean, that's a thing. I feel like maybe even I've gotten perspective on that. Like, you feel like you meet this one person and it's like this amazing connection, and you have to hold on to it. And I feel like that's not necessarily true. I mean, if two people are really invested in working on something and really love each other, that's really valuable. But that wasn't what was happening anymore in the situation.
Mm-hmm. So realistically, what was really going on in the situation at the time when he ended it wasn't actually very satisfying to you.
No. I mean, the things I had, what I had valued in the relationship was basically gone. I mean, the sexuality, the passion, even the companionship. I mean, even his kindness. Like, he really wasn't the same person at all with me anymore. And yet, I feel like the best way I can describe it is I was holding on to scraps. I was holding on to a moment here and there of a little tiny bit of kindness, a little bit of sexuality. And I felt like I deserved that. Like, I felt like, not I deserved that, like that, that I should do that. I should, if I could just have a little bit of that, it would be enough for me, you know, which is really, I was really settling, you know, for something. And that was sad
almost
to me.
Almost for kind of a torture.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's true. It's like something I almost felt like I deserved in some way. Like I was comfortable. I was really comfortable with it in a way that's crazy to me now.
And once you started to realize that, what did you realistically think about the situation?
I think when I really sort of looked at him realistically, by seeing that my intense need to figure out how to get him to love me again, that was a very old feeling that I was left with my own family, of feeling desperate for love, for acknowledgement. When I sort of looked at that and I realized that that had really gotten to transferred onto him, I guess being able to sort that out in some way made me realize that the rejection and the desperation to fix it and to have him wasn't that personal to him in a way. Like, I loved him and I'm sad. I still today am really sad about what we lost. But he wasn't even the same person that I loved in the beginning. He wasn't. And he wasn't my making him so amazing when he rejected me. That was totally off. Like, he's just another person in the world, and he's got, and actually there's qualities about him I don't like that much. That's the truth. Like, I realized I had sort of only focused on the positives and hadn't really seen him realistically. I just see him more in balance right now in my life. That rejection and that desperation was way misplaced with him, and it was making me need him when really what I realized I need to deal with this in myself. Like, this is going to come up with me in any relationship I'm in if I don't deal with it in myself. So that was kind of what I came out of it. Like, I don't ever want to feel like somebody can make me whole or make up for something I didn't feel like I had, a love I didn't get as a child. Like, if I'm putting that on another person, it's not going to work. I just guess I felt like I want to work on feeling like a whole person myself and not needing that kind of acceptance or love from somebody else, but to have it for myself.
Mm-hmm. What helped you start to deal with the feelings you had when the breakup happened? Like, you went from feeling this desperate need to get him back or to make him love you again. And then it seems like you really went through a process where you started to feel differently about yourself and about the situation.
Mm-hmm. I think that it was all different things. But I think the most important part was really dealing with the rejection and the pain, not just in the current day situation, but in my past as well. I think that was the most important thing, to recognize how much the rejection was making me compelled to want. And that's not healthy. I think a healthy person who's rejected goes, okay, well, if you don't want me, I don't want you. But for me, I learned that being rejected made me want really, really, really bad. And that I realized that's something I want to change about myself. I don't want somebody who doesn't want me. And I want to keep that perspective. I guess in therapy, I've learned that the big feelings are usually a clue towards something older. And that's obviously a very simple thing to say. But when it's big and dramatic, but not life or death, that should be a clue for me that this is old. Like, I'm reliving something. So I'm trying to go about my life, not just in my relationships, But in my life, as when I have that feeling that something is big and scary, that there's something much older that's being stirred up. And I guess if I didn't have that understanding with this relationship ending, I'd be in a lot of trouble, mm-hmm. you know, because I could never, ever fix it. And then I would just feel empty. So,
yeah. And just the way you couldn't fix it with your... in your childhood, yeah. you know, with your parents. You couldn't make your mother a more loving person. You couldn't make your father more consistent, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. But if I could see them realistically, even now as an adult, if I could see them realistically, I think it would help me so much to feel, I don't know, stronger as a person. Like, there was nothing wrong with me then, you know, and... you know, going into my life and my relationships, not feeling inadequate is a huge part of being successful.
You were lovable as a child and you're lovable now. To see yourself that way,
yeah.
really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big adjustment. It really is to accept that. Dating also is interesting because I think that, again, not wanting to use other people to feel okay, but it has been interesting to be involved with someone that is drawn to me and wanting toward me and passionate toward me. And I think that's kind of a reminder of what maybe a more healthy situation is like, you know. I feel stronger in myself in it. I feel like I really enjoy and like the contact and the things I value, but I feel very conscious of just that I'm my own person. I don't need it. And that needing is what I think has really messed me up. A lot of my relationships, it's made things more unbalanced. But I don't think that I would be better off in my next relationship if I hadn't learned this part about myself, because I think I'm going into this part of my life more feeling more like I don't want to get that out of somebody else. I want it to be something inside me that feels... okay, no matter what my relationship is. Mm-hmm. So.
I really appreciate you sharing your story and really talking about all the feelings you went through and being willing to be vulnerable like that, because I think it's so valuable for people. I think so many people struggle with these kind of issues and, you know, with breakups, but also just with when those feelings get stirred up from our childhood that are so painful, mm-hmm. which they do in our romantic relationships, that it can be a really hard thing to deal with. And it sounds like in your therapy and the work you've done since then with friends and everything, you really have come to feel very differently about yourself. And I think that's such an important process, and it's scary, and a lot of people don't take the trouble to go through that kind of growth. And so I really appreciate you sharing your story and also how you worked through it.
Mm. No, I appreciate you saying. I think when I wrote it down at first, and then when we talked about speaking here, I did have a feeling that if my story could help somebody going through a hard time or a rejection get perspective, that those deeper feelings, they're bearable and they're possibly tied to very old feelings, and somehow even knowing that much could maybe get them out of something that they could be spiraling in and give them perspective that they don't need to resolve it in that current day situation, and that they can handle it because it's, you know, a deeper thing to in themselves to deal with. And I don't know, I just hope that I felt lucky to be able to work through that for myself, and it did help me, and I want that to be able to affect other people too. So I was happy to be able to talk today.
Thanks. I think it will do that.
Good.
I appreciate it.
I'm glad.
So Lisa, after listening to this conversation, it really seems like something people would relate to, like you said. Did you have any thoughts coming out of it?
In hearing her tell her story, one of the things that struck me is that at the very beginning of the relationship, there was a real attraction and a draw, but that quickly turned into fantasy. And as part of that fantasy, her partner got put up on a pedestal and became more and more amazing. And she was in this fantasy of, oh, I'm in the perfect relationship. I'm with the perfect person. This is my whole life now. I'm going to live happily ever after. Even though there was lots of telltale signs that was not the story, just even because of different places they were in their lives, even some of the, you know, things they were struggling with. So it's interesting that I think getting into a fantasy bond is part of what makes it then so devastating when you lose it, that when people go through breakups, often part of the extreme pain and desperation they're feeling is about having lost that fantasy of connection and all the feelings that brings up because of their original connection with their parents. And I thought she talked very directly and very bravely about how that connected to her early life. And I think that's so important because the strong, desperate feelings, the big feelings, as she called them, you know, really are always in the past. They don't have to do with the present. And that it's interesting that now, having come out of it and on the other side of it, that she sees this person in a more realistic way. And there's some things she still likes, but there's a lot of things she doesn't like. And, you know, she does see how much fantasy was involved in it. Also, that as the relationship deteriorates, once you get into the fantasy bond, which also happened with them, where the real relating really started to dissipate. The passion dissipated. There was more and more rejection on his part. She got more and more desperate. It became this very, where they were both no longer the people they were when they started out. They were almost caricatures of themselves, and that led to the demise of the relationship. So while you feel like you're getting a sense of safety in a fantasy bond, what you're really getting is you're losing yourself, and the relationship isn't likely to last. And that's a painful part. I do think that in understanding where her desperate feelings came from the past, she's really starting to feel differently. And through therapy and good supportive friends, she's really started to think differently about herself and has a chance of entering into relationships in a different place than she has in the past. And that gives her a chance of having something that may not be as compelling or exciting, but is very real and satisfying. And I think that that's something, a lesson that would be good for all of us to learn, that you want a relationship that's good and satisfying, but it doesn't have to be the most amazing thing in the world, because it probably isn't. And I don't mean that in a negative way. I think when you put it in that way, then you lose the real good that you can have in having friendship, love, and companionship, and passion and sexuality with another person. But that person is a real person with both good traits and bad traits. And you're a real person with both good traits and bad traits. And that's okay.
Why Do We is produced by PsychAlive and the Glendon Association. You can listen to more episodes or subscribe at PsychAlive.org or wherever you find your podcasts.